Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What? You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Beneath the moonlight, he wanders alone. A solitary figure, a haunting tone. His laughter echoes.
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What? You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned. Shit, turn the microphone on first. Hello and welcome back to another froghead-loving, frog-brother-loving episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. And now we are finally back with this frog-brother-loving, fuck-sucking episode that has actually been in the works now for about, what would you say, about 3 months?
I mean, it's been a while. Look, it's not any of our faults. It's just
it's circumstances
in the way.
Circumstances, baby.
Hold on. Before we keep going, I'm gonna grab a water. I mean, you can edit it.
Right. So basically I'll go over some housekeeping while you're getting your water. We are housekeeping wise, everybody out there knows I've gone over this a million fucking times. We were during October, we were supposed to be covering it was supposed to be the month of vampires. This episode is actually one of those episodes that was supposed to come out in October. Never came out. But this is, we are covering from 1987, The Lost Boys.
The best vampire film.
Arguably one of the best, absolutely.
It's my personal favorite, but that being said, I guess I'm not the biggest.
Now that you say that, I'm going through my head. I don't know too many there. It's up there. It definitely is up there.
You can definitely say the worst is the Twilight series as a whole. Not like just, well, although there are some that are way worse than others. I've seen them all.
You don't like shimmering vampires? But that, like I said, there was a lot of shit that happened October, November, December. October was supposed to be nothing but vampire. There was supposed to be a shit ton of episodes that were supposed to come out in October. November was supposed to be a nice, you know, regular four episodes. December was supposed to be a shit ton of winter-based, Christmas-based, like we normally do. Work was sending me all over fucking creation.
Every which way.
And
loose. You know,
I watched a shit ton of movies.
Yeah.
But just didn't have time to record, actually. So this is why we're actually sitting down now to record The Lost Boys from 1987. Let's bust into this. Directed by none other than Joel Schumacher.
The legend, the one that kind of ruined the Batman series. I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, the nipples, and that's where it got crazy. I just like, we don't need that. Oh, speaking, okay.
Oh, yes.
I know this isn't, it's just because we mentioned DC. Did you know that as an April Fool's joke that they announced like, what, 4 months prior? DC is releasing a Harley Quinn comic that is purely about her farts, just flatulence. That's not a joke. You can look it up if you want to, but that's no joke. Like, literally, the cover's her farting. Apparently, this is a rumor. This part, what I'm about to say is a rumor, that there's supposed to be a scratch and sniff version.
Oh, dude, come on.
Dude, I know. It's insane that they approved that, but they declined that Batman Beyond movie they were going to make. And that Batgirl movie.
I guess if people are going to buy it, right?
No, yeah, but the wrong people.
Whatever.
The wrong people. Like, the only people that are going to buy that are the people that are into
weirdos. Into
flatulence.
Weirdos. All right, so back to The Lost Boys, written by Jan Fisher, James Jeremias, Jeffrey Boehm. Okay.
Where are you getting these? Are you looking on IMDb or are you looking on?
The IMDb.
Okay.
The IMDb. So as we know, this doesn't have a huge, huge cast, but it's got some heavy hitters here.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. The only people I really like know are it's Corey Feldman. Like, before watching this movie, what's his face? Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
And Alex Winter. Those are like the big three names like I've seen in. Oh, and Corey Haim.
Yeah.
Of course, Corey Haim.
Of course.
Sorry, yeah.
The Corey's Kiefer from, yeah, I mean, Kiefer.
But Jason Patrick, who's like the star, I would say, of this movie, I've only ever seen him in this.
What was he in before this, Jason Patrick? Let's take a look.
I've only ever seen him in this movie, from what I understand. Yeah, I've only ever seen him in this. Looking through the list.
Well, Lost Boys, he was in the Alamo.
Because he's good in this movie. I like him in this movie.
He's in Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Doesn't seem like he's been in a lot of amazing things after this. No offense.
He's in Solar Babies.
He's in Terrifier 3, apparently.
Which I still haven't seen, so.
I've even seen 2. I have to watch them.
That's good.
I've seen 1.
You know, Jason Patrick did a great job in this. You know, of course, we had the Coreys. This was actually the first movie where they had the Coreys together. And
I thought their first one was the Drive, the License movie.
License to Drive? No, I think that came out after this.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up now. License
to Drive. That was one of the trivia things that came out in this.
A year after. Okay.
This is the first movie. This actually kicked off an 80s phenom that they dubbed as the Coreys. I mean, the Coreys in your movie was
name, you know?
The bomb. We had Diane West, who played Lucy, the
mom?
The mom, yeah. I don't know, something about her. She was kind of dainty and cute and dainty kind of way, you know?
Yeah, I always liked her as the mom, but yeah. Is she like a big star? I've never seen her in anything either. But.
I'm into moms. Leave me alone. Let's see. What else is she into? She's into Old Fat Guys, I hear.
The only thing I've seen she's in is Robots.
She's in A Hand and Her Sister, Footloose, ID4. She was in ID4.
I've never seen Footloose.
You've never seen Footloose?
The song's good. I like the song.
Kind of an American, are you? You know, Kevin Bacon saved the world.
But by dancing, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the world. I think it was this small, weird Mormon town.
Bright Lights, Big City. Oh, wow. She was in that? Parenthood, Edward Scissorhands? Dude. Yeah, she's been in a lot of stuff.
Oh, she is the mom in Edward Scissorhands. Yeah, that's who. Okay, that's what I've seen her in. Okay.
And we got Grandpa, played by Barnard Hughes.
Hero of the movie.
Yeah, at the end. Mm-hmm. Bad thing about Santa Carla. Many damn vampires.
Why the hell would you not warn your young daughter, or your daughter, your young grandkids, that you're moving into a vampire town? If you know that.
He knows, yeah.
I would give him a little warning.
That's one thing that's a little questionable there.
I mean, look, he saves him in the end, but still.
Edward Herman as Max, who ends up turning out to be not only the manager of the video store, the local Blockbuster, but the head vampire.
Yeah, the alpha.
Kiefer Sutherland.
He's probably the best part of this movie. Like, the best, like, role.
He does a good job.
He's amazing. I like...
What was he in before this?
I'm not really... Like, I know Kiefer is, like, a celebrity, but, like, I don't... I've seen some episodes of 24. That's about it. That's, like, the only thing I know.
Young Guns. Was Young Guns come out before this? Young Guns was in 88. So...
Was in The Simpsons. Who's he voiced Simpsons?
Oh, okay. Stand By Me. Yeah, of course. Yeah, he was in Stand By Me the year before this.
Oh, yeah. He is the bully. Yeah.
Yep, yep. Max Dugan Returns in 83. I remember that movie. I remember watching that movie. I remember sitting in front of the TV when HBO first came out, and had a jar of Spanish olives, eating the whole damn jar.
What's a Spanish? I don't know what a Spanish olive is. What
green,
is that?
Green olives.
With tomatoes in it. Okay. Okay.
And eating that whole damn jar and watching Max Dugan Returns.
When I think Spanish olive, I just think olive. That's just an olive to me.
Because you're Spanish, yeah. Then we have Jamie Gertz. The ever fabulous Jamie Gertz.
I know her recently for the first time for me. I watched Twister for the first time recently. And
yeah,
she's the Bill's, well, soon-to-be wife. Doesn't work out.
Yeah, she was in some episodes of Different Strokes, The Facts of Life, Family Ties. She was in 16 Candles. She was in Family
Ties? Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, 16 Candles there. She was in
a much younger
a movie called Mischief, I remember, from the 80s. Crossroads with the one and only Daniel LaRusso.
What's that about? What's Crossroads?
He's a guitar player. He meets at the crossroads. So you know what happens at the crossroads. You watch Supernatural.
No, wait, no, it's not about that, is it?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
Really?
Yeah. Sell your soul to the devil to play the guitar, baby. It's a good movie.
There's a whole episode about that. That's crazy.
Of course, Corey Feldman as Edgar Frog. It's weird because they have Corey Haim plays Sam, who's Jason Patrick's brother. Corey Feldman plays Edgar Frog. Jameson Newlander plays Alan Frog. So that's the Frog Brothers.
They don't look anything like brothers, but you know what? It's yeah. Movie. It's fine.
Yeah, what is what
I mean, neither of you, Corey Haim and Jason Patrick, but yeah. it's a movie.
Yeah. And you got Brooke McCarter plays Paul. Billy Worth plays Dwayne. Alex Winter from Bill and Ted's fame plays Marco.
Oh, you know what? There's one person that we have to accredit, and I don't know his name. But give me one sec.
Oh, yeah, I know his name. I ain't talking about.
Do you really? I ain't talking about.
Chance Michael Corbett, who plays Laddie, the little boy.
Oh, that's not who I was talking about.
I know who you're talking about, though.
Okay, hold on.
He was a saxophone player for Tina Turner Band. Did you know that?
No, I don't know what the Tina Turner Band is.
You know who Tina Turner is?
Okay, I got his name though. Oh wait, yes, it does say he is primarily known for saxophone work supporting the intern. Okay, interesting. But Tim Capello, man, that scene. Every time I see it, it's like I've seen wrestling, and I've seen those 80 pics of oiled up men, but there's no man more oily and more gyratey than him. It always it's just so I always have a little chuckle every time I see him.
That was sweat.
No, I know, but there's no way there wasn't also oil.
I think it was supposed to be sweat, but yeah, you know, it's all oil.
Yeah, it's a movie.
It was.
But yeah, every time it gives me a little chuckle. I love it.
So now that we went through the cast in this movie, I mean, this movie, when did this come out? 87?
And I will always say this for every 80s movie and like older movies with practical effects. It looks so good. Nothing about this movie really looks bad.
Oh, no. I mean, it holds up great.
Yeah.
It holds up great. I mean, even after watching this after, you know, all these years later, I mean, it's still holds up.
Yeah.
You know, it's still great.
It's a really fun movie. Great character.
I'm trying to remember the first time I saw this. I honestly don't remember the first time I saw it.
I was probably like 13, 14. It was probably with you.
Yeah, it came out when I was about 13. So I'm guessing I must have seen it shortly after. I mean, this was a big hit when it came out.
Oh, yeah, I got to imagine. Because, like, this is the perfect, like, also, this is a perfect date movie. Like, it's vampires, which, you know, girls are into vampires. Like, it's just a thing. It's got these, you know, good-looking dudes, but it's also, like, genuinely a really funny movie.
It's got
a good comedy. But it's also, like, this really, like, sweet, like, you know, we got to move to this new town. They're, not that they're having troubles with the kids, the mom, but like clearly the older brother's like having outs because he
well yeah and this is a thing. He's supposed to be playing what, like
he's got to be like 16-17. He can't 16, be yeah he can't yeah. be old. Like he's supposed to, I think he's supposed to be a high schooler.
Yeah, like a 16. I mean, he's riding a dirt bike around Santa Clara, whatever, where they
everywhere it looks like teenager Michael. So like he's a teen.
Yeah, so it's you know, they'll go down on the boardwalk, you know, getting into trouble. This is the 80s. Kids went out and had fun in the 80s. I don't remember when I first saw this, but I do remember really liking this movie when I first saw it. It's been something that I've gone back to. I watch this, will always watch it and go back to it. Whenever somebody says,
let's watch Lost Boys,
no, whenever somebody says vampire movies,
this
is one of my top five. Absolutely.
This vampire is the one I immediately think of, to be honest. Absolutely.
Some trivia here. I was reading this earlier. The new location of the Atlantis Fantasy World comic book store, which was featured in the film, is owned by Joe Ferreira II, who still owns and carries the original number one issue of Vampires Everywhere that Sam reads in the film. The comic was created only for the film.
Oh.
Its opening page is signed by all the cast members from the movie.
Damn.
The owner, Joe Ferreira II, allows any shopper to hold it and take a photo with it free of charge.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I honestly would like to do that.
Just go to California just for that.
There's probably a couple of things I want to see, but other than that, I'll get that.
It's like, that's the only reason I'd really want to go to Minneapolis right now, because they got a huge Prince shop in the airport. I'd fly into Minneapolis, go to the shop, and then fly out.
That, I mean, no, better be a cheap flight, because that's pretty insane. I will say one of the most insane things to be about this movie, like, this is a trivia thing too. Apparently, what's Santa Carla? It's Santa
Cruz.
Santa Cruz in real life, right? Yep. Apparently, the state of California was like, yeah, you can't call it Santa Cruz because we don't want to be associated with a murder town.
Well, they were. Santa Cruz was plagued. Well, here was one other.
Well, that's probably why they didn't want to. If it had actual, like, a lot of murder cases, that's probably why.
Another topic of trivia. Santa Cruz, where Santa Carla takes place, was once plagued with the reputation of being the murder capital of the world.
Oh, wow.
Because of a series of brutal murders by three different very disturbed men in the early 70s. Because of John Lindsay Frazier, Herbert Mullen, and Ed Kemper, Santa Cruz endured 28 murders over a 30-month period between 1970 and 1973.
I mean, it makes sense why they called it that and, like, why they filmed it on that, but that's crazy. I didn't know that that was actually... I thought that was just a movie because, you know, vampires. That's insane.
Yeah, vampires. I'm telling you. But that's... this movie, you know, it starts off with...
They just move in. Yeah, they're driving in.
They're driving in. Moving into... I mean, we're 18 minutes and we're just not getting to the damn movie. they're moving into town.
In their grandpa's house.
Moving to the grandpa's house. And the grandpa's house is fucking... I think it's pretty damn cool.
No, it is it is a nice house. It really is. He needs to, like, tone it down a little bit with the taxidermy, all right? There's a lot. I don't know. Like, I would say, like, five tops you need in the house. You don't need, like, he gifts Sam one. I'm like, he puts it in his room. I'm like, nah, man, I'm good. I don't need that. I'd rather keep my, Rob Lowe poster.
Yeah, half-naked Rob Lowe poster.
Like, I didn't understand, because, like, I understand Rob Lowe from, like, Parks and Recreation, so, like, I don't understand why he was in a poster in the 80s. Was he that big?
I guess so. I don't remember. I wouldn't have a
poster. Every time I see this movie, I think it's so funny. Like, there's a Molly Ringwald as well, and that I get.
I would have had a Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, that I get, but Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Even if you were into men, I don't think you'd have Rob Lowe.
I'd have Rob Lowe if I was in the guys.
Nah. He's like, out of 80s hunks,
he's like the picture fuck boy.
I guess maybe back then.
Definitely, dude.
I don't know.
Let's see here.
Either way, I just think it's so funny that he has him up there.
But yeah, they get, you know, their first outing, they go down to the boardwalk right away.
Immediately, Michael's looking for a job. That's what he's first, like, he's looking for some money, which, I get, you guys just moved to a new place.
Need some dineros. And right away, Haim comes up across, you know, the comic book shop. It's on the boardwalk. And the Frog Brothers right away, you know, approach him, you know, you like comics.
And I wonder if they do this to everybody or they like saw something in him.
Singles him out.
Yeah.
Telling him about approaching him about you just moved to town or whatever they said or be here. They start giving him a comic. Oh, I'm not in the horror comics. And he goes off on him about you
can't have these Superman 97s or these Superman 100s or whatever. It's like, some kryptonite wasn't introduced yet. Like, he goes off. Yeah.
But then he's like, yeah, you should read this. Really read this.
That might be why they respect him, because he has so much comic knowledge. Like, okay, okay.
Then he ends up taking that vampire comic home.
Oh, but this is also when Michael first meets Star, right?
Yeah.
He's
like Caesar. Is he? It has been a minute since we watched this, because originally we were supposed to record this 3 months ago.
Yeah. But I'm pretty, like, maybe the first night not, but I'm pretty sure it is where they see the.
Well, I think the first night he sees her, they end up talking.
Yeah.
And then
buys a leather jacket to look cool.
And then what's his nuts?
David.
David shows up and, you know, they do that whole challenge thing.
Well, because clearly, like, Star is David's, like, girlfriend, or, you know, supposed to be, is what we understand.
Yeah, that's what it comes across.
Yeah. I mean, he's...
I think in the end run, we see that it's not really a girlfriend.
Yeah, it's more like a... I don't know.
She belongs to me, like...
Yeah.
I turned her kind of deal, you know? She's mine.
She's a possession.
Yeah. So, but that's what it comes across to Michael. Is it, oh...
Yeah, this is your girl.
That's your girl, okay. But then, you know... Michael's out there on his little motorbike, and David's like, you don't got to beat me.
Yeah.
You
got
to keep up. And they're...
Well, it's also like, it's strange to me because they're running in the sand, and you would think dirt bike would do a little better in the sand than they're like...
Well, they had other bikes. They had dirt bikes too, didn't they?
This is just like a slower, like little moped kind of bike.
I'm guessing, I don't know what the... I don't know about dirt bikes and shit, so I don't know what he had, but all I know is that they're speeding... And then we have this scene, you know, where you have like the fog that's coming in. The visuals in this are freaking spectacular, dude.
It's so strange to me because this is also like one of the Joel Schumacher. I don't really know him for a lot of things besides this and Batman movies, but
Destroying Batman.
He's so good. Like, he made such a good movie here. What happened?
He put nipples on Batman.
No, he just made it. He made it a cartoon, but like a bad cartoon. It was just,
I mean, and the visuals in this part here, where the fog's coming in, and then, you know, David and his guys kind of back up a little bit, and Michael takes the front, the lead. And, I mean, it's not so much that it's like a race, you know, it's not like they're racing and Michael's just like pulling ahead, way ahead, but it's like we see it from a different vantage point. It's like, it's almost like the camera turns, and instead of seeing it from behind where we're seeing Michael lagging behind, now we're seeing it from the front point where we're seeing Michael coming forward, and the rest of the crew is kind of like falling behind a little bit.
I love seeing all the lights go through the fog too, like cut through the fog. It looks really good.
And then right at the last minute, Michael kind of slides, you know, because there's a cliff. Bam. Right there. And then we have a little bit of tete on tete, little duking it out there between Michael and David. Because there was some almost, you're trying to kill me. You know.
But, and then this is also when they do the hanging off the train, right?
Mm-hmm.
The train railway. And obviously, ooh, Michael's gripping on for
woo, that gave me a shiver.
Michael's gripping for his life, but I think David's telling him to let go.
Well, that's and that, you know, this whole, you know, the whole bike thing, and then the fight, and then just you and me. And they get him over to the train tracks, and you know, you know, we want you to be one of us, and you know, and they start hanging from this trestle, and for those of you out there that don't know what a trestle is, it's basically a bridge that goes over a river, but it's for only for trains.
Yeah.
It's called a trestle. They're hanging
from... didn't know it was called that, but you know, fun fact.
I used to play on those when I was little. And statute of limitations is gone. But they're hanging from it. And this is another one of these great visuals. Because the fog is so thick.
Yeah, you can't see the bottom at all.
You honestly think that this is like miles down.
Which, yeah, that's way more horrifying not being able to see the bottom. Because it's like, this could be endless or this could be right there.
Yeah, I mean, it could be 5 feet down. We don't know. But they're hanging there and one by one.
Yeah, they all start dropping.
And Michael's hanging out for his dear life. He's just like, no, I can't do it.
If it's like, let go, Michael.
Yeah. And then, of course, he falls.
Yeah.
And then he had this little thing where, you know, he's falling and he's screaming, and then he's not, and he's screaming. And then he ends up
at the old San Francisco earthquake.
Yeah, this old hotel. Where it actually wouldn't be kind of, it'd be kind of a cool hangout type of place.
I mean, for teenagers, yeah, it would, but like now as like a 25 year old, it'd be like, there's tetanus all over this place for sure. You're going to catch some kind of disease. Like, it's not worth the kids. It's not.
I mean, I don't know.
Especially, oh my God. I mean, this is just for later on, but like when Michael and Star have sex in that bed, I'm like, the stuff.
Spoiler.
Look, we were talking all around, but I'm just like, that's the things that are going to happen. I wouldn't risk that. But yeah.
Yeah. The,
actually, I guess
you could squat there easily, man. We've been living there for years.
He's a 16 year old. I get it. 16, 17.
So he gets down there and then, you know, they're fucking with him. You know,
yeah, this is when the food stuff happens where,
yeah, give
them Chinese food,
give them rice, and they're like, how are the maggots? What?
Just looking down. That honestly, I remember watching that for the first time, like, that is pretty fucking spooky. I wouldn't fuck with that at all.
Yeah, that is kind
of like at that moment, I would have left, I wouldn't have stayed around. I'm like, nah, man, you guys are some fucking weirdos.
Yeah, you start eating rice and turn into maggots, start eating
worms,
lo mein noodles, and they're worms. You know. And then he busts out the wine. Bring me my wine. Whenever some head honcho guy says, hey, bring me my wine. And it's in some old ass bottle that, yeah.
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
How you got wine down in here, dude? Come on.
Never drink the Kool-Aid, kids.
But yeah, Star is already, I mean, you can see Star's apprehensive and they're like, no.
Oh yeah, no, she's like, warning him not to do it, yeah. Which,
doesn't she tell him? It's blood, and he's like,
I don't think so.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, does she?
She tells him it's blood, and he's like, yeah, like those were worms and maggots, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah, he's tripping. He's
like,
I forgot.
And so he's like, he drinks it, but it was blood.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, we think it's David's blood. It's not.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because we think he's the head vampire.
I think he's the head honcho. But then we find out later that he's not. He's just a minion.
Oh, you know what? I think we mix up the order of things. This happens. They ride the bike. He gets pissed. They go to the earthquake place. And then after he drinks it, that's when they do the railway thing.
Railway.
That's why he can drop and not die.
Right. True.
He drops and then, I don't know, he becomes a bat, whatever the fuck happens. And he ends up at home in bed. And he thinks he's dreaming.
That's right, because that's when, what's the dog's name?
Nanook.
Nanook. That's when
Nanook of the North.
Right. Because he wakes up in bed. He's been sleeping all day or something like that. He's got his glasses on. And this is when we get the Haim in the bathtub singing that damn song. I don't remember that damn song.
I can't remember. I have no clue.
Whenever I'm watching the movie, I know the song and I'm like, I can't remember the song now.
But yeah, he's in there with Nanook.
Somebody's going to be watching this, when it comes out, and they're going to be like, oh, that damn song is this, you dumbass.
They're probably saying that too when we mix up the order of events right there. But
yeah, I'm going to tell you.
We fixed it.
Everybody, look, we watched this movie 3 months ago. I know we probably should have watched it again, But we were also supposed to record this 3 months ago.
So. Oh, we're doing pretty well. This is one of those movies we've seen a lot. So, like, you know,
we're gonna get all the important parts. They may be
a little out of order sometimes, but
instead of A B C D, it may be A F G B D E F, like that.
Speaking of,
get them all.
Whenever cops are like asking you when you're drunk, like one of the things they ask you to spell the alphabet backwards. I couldn't do that sober. What?
Yeah, I can't do that sober.
Insane. I understand the line thing, but like you're asking too much of me there. There's no song to go backwards.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, it's not gonna happen, dude. It's not gonna happen when I'm drunk or sober. So,
not that I'm gonna be stopped by a cop. I hope not.
And by the way, your public service announcement for the episode: the police are the teeth of the state. They are there to enforce corrupt laws,
yeah,
as well as good laws. There you go. That's my tidbit.
They're still the teeth, which are dangerous.
And taxation is theft.
Oh well, yeah, that's obvious. But
on to the Lost Boys. So. Haim is. I'm still trying to remember that damn song. You know what? I'm gonna find out what song he sings. Just bother me now.
But yeah, he's chilling in the bathtub, singing with the Nook, and Michael is going through his changes. I think he puts on the glasses, right? Or is it still daytime? Yeah, he puts on glasses. You know, he's sensitive light, and
I Ain't Got No Home by Clarence Frogman Henry.
I don't know. I mean, obviously,
I've heard the song. Home.
I do remember that a little bit when he was singing it. Okay.
Yeah. He puts on those glasses.
Heads in there,
and he's having a hard time. No,
he's having.
He's like, he's got his hands on the door. He's like, no. And then you've seen the Nook's head raise up, like some shit's about to go down.
Yeah, but I appreciate though. Michael is fighting it. Like he is trying. Obviously, his instincts are trying to take over.
Yeah,
he is fighting it.
He tried, but then, you know, and right at the same time, you know, Corey puts his head down, I don't know, to rinse his face off or some shit like that. And the Nook attacks. Poor Michael, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. He starts bleeding. And this whole time, Sam is freaking out. Like, he's not trustworthy at all. And he's figuring out he's becoming a vampire. And, you know, obviously he read that comic.
Strong shit.
He read that comic, so he's a little wary of it at the moment.
Well, at first he's like, "What the hell did you do to my dog?"
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He's so upset. He's like, "Nothing. He's protecting you. He attacked me. He's protecting you." And that's when he sees his reflection in the mirror. He's like, "You're a blood sucking, you're a blood sucking fucking vampire."
He didn't say fucking.
I'm telling mom. That's what he said. I'm telling mom.
And that's how you know they're brothers, because that's the thing. I'm telling mom.
And, you know, this is the whole scene, too, isn't it? Mom's out on a date with Max.
That doesn't happen yet.
Well, yeah, because she's out on a date, and this is where...
Oh, the first call, you're right. Yes, that's what caused him to come. Yes, you're right.
He runs up. He gets the phone. He starts floating outside. He's trying the phone, and his
mom... Oh, by the way, I just... Speaking of, is it Max, right? His name's Max?
Yeah.
Yeah, we forgot to mention when they met earlier. Woo. There was a moment where David and the crew came in.
Oh yeah,
and he just mentioned like all these like whatever he was these kids these rumbling teenagers, like, you know, he's annoyed by them, but you know that was just a little seed there.
Yeah, and they had at this point they had a date. The mom and Max
set a date after a meeting. Yep,
it kind of got ruined because Oh no, they weren't on a date yet. I think mom was at work.
Oh, a job from him. That's what it was. Yeah, someone because she needed a job, and he was like, "Okay."
She was at work.
You know, he's clearly into her.
Yeah. And were they on a date?
I think they're on a date later, but I don't think it's now.
Not this time, because I know they're on a date. Yeah, because they go on a date. I was on their first date. They go out and they get the phone call. She gets a phone call as they're sitting down, And he's like, oh, Michael's trying to kill me. He's trying to kill me. Yeah. And the mom's like, what the fuck's going on? What? I'm coming right now. She hangs up and takes off. And that's the scene where Michael's actually floating outside the window with the phone in his hand. Like, let me in. You got to let me in. Because he doesn't know what the hell's going on. He's like floating away. I thought that was the same scene with Nanook. Wasn't that the same scene with Nanook?
No. Okay. So I'm pretty sure, I think we're confusing. I mean, you're right, but I think the first time she comes back from that is she's at work. When they come back on the date is at the end of the movie. Because Dave is already dead. She comes back. She sees all this shit. Because I think he
well, that's...
Sam does call.
That's later, because that's the second date.
Oh, is it the second date? I thought it was the first date.
The first date gets ruined. She comes home.
That was the... First date. The first date gets ruined because the kids, the first date is with them, isn't it? Like the kids and everybody?
No, the first date, she goes out to some restaurant with him. It gets ruined. She comes home and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was reading the scary comics. And she's like, what? And then the second date.
I mean, I remember that happening, but I'm pretty sure.
The second date is when he comes to the house and it's the spaghetti night and he invites the Frog Brothers over.
I'm pretty sure it's the first date.
No, the first date was at a restaurant where Max was taking her out. The first time was when the Nanook scene when she was at the video store.
Give me a second. You can edit this.
I'm pretty sure.
Hold on.
See, because the Michael begins to change, he becomes sensitive to light, finds normal food revolting, and notices reflection fading. He develops a craving for food, for blood, and nearly attacks Sam, but Sam's dog Nanook intervenes and stops him. But terrified, Sam agrees to help Michael and deduces. So that's when he tells his mom that, oh, it must have been, that was the first date. That's when he was like, oh, it was the vampire comics I was reading.
I mean, I remember the vampire comics thing. I remember all that. But I could have sworn she wasn't on a date. I could have sworn she was just at work, because that's what the first setup with them. The fact that she's working for him.
Now, that was, they were working.
That's their first meet, is the fact that she asked for a job, and then the next scene you see them together is them working. Hold on. I'm looking at the movie right now. Give me one.
Watch the movie. But then they, also that one scene where, because after that date, she goes back to Max's house, because Max has a dog, a white like husky or some shit. She goes back to Max's house to take some wine and flowers or some shit like that. And this dog goes batshit nuts and tries to attack her. And it doesn't go over too well. And that's when they're like, you know what? Let's have spaghetti at my house. So see, and that's right. Sam Edgar and Alan suspect Max is the head vampire, but after Max is invited to dinner at Lucy's house, they notice that he does have a reflection. They throw a bunch of garlic at him. They give him holy water. He passes all the tests. But then they tell him, he's like, they find out later that, you know, you pass all the tests. He's like, yes, stupid boy, don't you know if you invite somebody into their house, it renders all those tests useless.
That's some bullshit. I'm sorry. That shouldn't be true. Like, inviting in, like, that's one of the deterrents about vampires, the fact that no matter what, like, you can't come in unless I invite you. But, like, that shouldn't be a bonus. Like, hey, guess what? If you do invite me, nothing else works. That's dumb. Yep.
Everything else is useless because you invited me in.
It's a dumb. But anyway, I mean, it is, but.
So here we got David and his gang. They attempt to push Michael into killing. Well, I said they're flying him. Oh, yeah, this is when they go and attack the Nazis that are down partying on the beach. Yeah, Nazi surfers. Surf Nazis must die.
Never seen that movie.
Excellent movie by Troma.
I do know it's a Troma film, but yep. One of the few. I haven't seen a lot. I've seen like three.
Michael does resist the temptation to feed, though, which is pretty cool. But this is when they're all hanging out that tree and they start showing the up close of all these surf Nazi guys partying down there, and
I think
they all start transforming and changing.
I think it's only Michael and the kid that save, because the kid, I don't think he's eating.
He doesn't feed yet.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't feed.
He is a Sar, right? And yeah, because they all turn back.
Yeah. Again, but. Later, Star confides in Michael that she and Laddie, a young member of the gang, are also only partly transformed.
Which means, they haven't killed. Yeah, which is, that's one of those vampire lore things which I've seen in a lot of vampire-like movies and stuff, but, like, it doesn't seem like it'd be, like, in old vampire lore, it doesn't seem like an old thing. It seems like a new thing. Because I feel like no matter what, once you get bit by a vampire, normally, like in the old lore, like you just become a vampire. There's no you killing you. Yeah. That's when you become a full vampire. Like, yeah.
Well, there's I watched recently that Dracula Untold, which was supposed to be the reboot for the Universal Monsters, which it was actually a pretty good fucking movie.
I never watched it.
Dracula Untold. It was actually a pretty damn good movie.
I watched that Tom Cruise mummy movie and I didn't like it.
Well, the Dracula Untold actually takes, it actually goes before.
Oh, yeah, no, it's like way back. Yeah, it's like OG Dracula.
Before he actually became the vampire in the battle with the Turks. And it goes into, he meets the demon or the person that actually made the deal with the devil to become
a vampire. Okay.
So he was stuck in this cave. Until he found somebody to pass it on.
He met the alpha vampire.
Yeah.
Like in Supernatural.
Yeah. The actual alpha.
Yeah.
And he said, and this is what he told him was, look, I can give you, you can experience my power and you have 3 days. If you do not feed, this is one of the things that he tells him. If you don't feed for 3 days, if you do not feed in human blood for 3 days, it'll be out of your system and you go back to human.
Oh, okay. So. He was giving him a little test drive, basically.
Yeah, so basically he could see the power. So that was in that. Now I don't know how much that movie sticks to actual vampire lore.
I'm not the biggest in vampire lore.
Bram Stoker's Dracula wasn't steeped in vampire lore either. I mean, it was just a book that he wrote.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Here's the thing, man. I think it would be an awesome movie if Keanu Reeves wasn't what's his face?
Oh, that Bram Stoker's Dracula movie was pretty damn good.
No, the movie is good, man. The movie is a solid movie. It's a great movie, but like the Keanu Reeves is his face.
Like Bill S. Ted Esquire in there?
I didn't like I like Keanu Reeves in a lot of movies, but like for that character, you know, he didn't work.
They're just lucky that Dracula didn't kill his fucking dog.
Wait, what?
Lucky.
Oh, Dracula didn't kill his dog. I was very confused. What do you mean, what dog? And then I was like, oh yeah, John Wick.
Dude,
it's been forever since the first one.
Yeah. So where was I at here? Star confides in Michael that, she admits that David wanted her to kill Michael to complete her transformation.
Oh, this is also when they bang as well.
Yeah.
Like, all this talking. And like I said, I get it. You're a 16-year-old kid.
We hear that.
She's a very, very pretty lady. I understand. But that's a better place.
You know, I mean, that's a very dirty place. And she's a dirty girl. Dirty girl.
Well, also, she's immortal, so I guess she doesn't really have to deal with the disease.
She's not really immortal yet.
I would think
she hasn't fed.
Well, because here's the thing: that kid, the little boy, he has like a Civil War coat kind of jacket, and it always made me think that he was a really, really old kid.
No, but he wasn't, because earlier they show him on the side of a milk.
I know, but. That's what I'm saying. Like, I wish didn't
style, man.
I wish they didn't show that, because I just like I like the idea that he's just lived forever and not drinking blood.
Nah,
little Civil War boy.
Now, Michael is determined to save Star and Laddie.
Yeah, now that he knows that he can, and himself, obviously.
So he brings Sam and the Frog Brothers to the gang's lair. He's in pain. You know, they're all covered up and everything like that. During the day, and he's like, don't touch her. They're not gonna die. This is when they're digging, rooting around through these tunnels, and they're looking for, what are we looking for? Coffins. And they're like, they look up.
And yeah, and they're like bats. They're hanging upside down.
We're in one big coffin. They look up. They show their feet, and their feet are all.
It can't. I mean, I understand bats do it, but like, how can that be comfortable? Like, how?
I'm telling you.
Why would you want to sleep like that?
I'm telling you.
The coffin idea sounds way better.
It's
cushioning.
They stake and kill Marco, who's
Alex Winter. They kill Alex Winter first. And I wish I could remember the specifics of his death. But what I like about this movie is that every vampire death is different.
Yeah.
Like, the way they die, but also, like, I remember he has, like, a weird sparkle. And I remember when I said that, I was like, is this where Twilight got the idea? It's because he has a weird little sparkle going on when he gets stabbed.
There is a piece of trivia in the old, good old IMDb's about that sparkle that the Hamster was actually complaining about. Let me see here. I was reading that earlier. In the documentary Bloodsucking Cinema in 2007, Corey Haim said that all the blood had glitter in it to give it a shimmering effect and was slimier than any other fake blood that he had ever dealt with.
Yeah, it was kind of like translucent a little bit, right? Like, it wasn't like full blood.
No. Yep.
It was because the sparkle helped a little bit. But yeah, I remember always that being pretty cool.
Yeah, so they all narrowly escape with Star and Laddie, and David vows to hunt them down at night.
And this is also an interesting fact. Whenever he's trying to grab them and the sun comes out and starts burning them, he has a tear come down his eye.
Oh, yeah.
And I was always like, man, that's such a great acting moment from Kiefer. But it turns out it was the contacts in his eyes that caused him to tear up.
They had hard contact.
Yeah, of course they're going to keep that in because it looks so good. Like, I mean, it looks so good. Oh, did you have to keep that in?
He was in pain, literally. I mean, his eyes were hurting him. So Michael, Sam, and the Frog Brothers prepare for the gang's impending assault.
Yeah, they Home Alone the house.
Yeah.
Classic Home Alone.
Holy water, longbow sticks.
Yeah, they fill a bathtub with holy water, right?
Water, dude. Yeah. And brilliant move. They're filling squirt guns and super soakers with.
Which, by the way, Winchester Brothers, maybe take a goddamn note, okay?
Telling you.
Seems like a pretty good idea.
Telling you. Now, David's gang, they break into the Emerson home and fight. Sam, Nanook, and the Frog Brothers kill Paul and Dwayne.
I love the fact that, like, because I think Nanook's outside.
Yeah.
And the when they first start to attack. And she's running in. And I was always like, look, I love our dogs. Okay, I really do. But if vampires were coming in and they're that far away, I'm sorry. You're getting eight. I'm locking that door. I'm bolting it. I'm sorry.
Now, which one of them gets dunked in the bathtub?
I can't remember any of their names. That's the problem. The only ones I remember specifically are David.
Sure, here.
It's David and Star, I guess, really the ones I remember. But like, I remember Alex Winter's the one that dies upside down.
Yeah, see, their pictures don't even look
Alex Winter. But yeah, there is the one that it's the Frog Brothers that kill him, right?
Yeah, they he says they're like I don't remember what happens. They bring a cross out or something like that. He's like, that doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that. And
they push him.
They push
him. And he just thinks it's going to be water.
Then the Nook comes in, doesn't he? The Nook comes in and pushes him in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's the one. Or she.
And then,
he's the one that saves him.
And he goes, he starts screaming. Yeah, baby.
And they use the water guns a little bit, but they're not like the most effective. Like, it hurts them, but like, they're not like dying from it. But
that. Enough to give him a little bit of.
Getting full in a tub full of basically acid to you. Yeah, I'll do it.
Let me see here. Dwayne, while Michael takes on David. Yeah, we know this is.
Yeah, and they're just pretty much like.
But we know that David's going to be more powerful because he's been eating human blood for who knows how long.
The head vampire. Yeah. So, you know, you would think he'd be more powerful. But
Michael resists David's temptation to accept the transformation.
At least from what we know.
And this is, I mean, they're battling and fighting and fighting and battling. And this is what goes back to one of the things that, you know, you were saying earlier, that all this taxidermy stuff was everywhere. One of the battles, you know, they're flying through the air and David and Michael, he just flips around at the last minute and boom, impales them on some
deer antlers.
Deer antlers.
Yeah. Or, which, okay. Gramps, I guess, with one or three or five, that would have been fine. They could have had deer antlers, it would have been good, but the rest of them, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
And, you know, David's dead.
Yeah.
But Michael Starr and Laddie, they're like, we're still vampires.
Yeah, nothing happened. Nothing changed.
So that leads them to believe that, guess what? That was not the head vampire, baby.
Yeah.
And Lucy and Max come back to the house and they're like, my boys. You know, we wanted to be a big, happy family. You know, Max is saying this whole big, boys need a mother. You know, I tried to bring you guys in and we tried to be a big, happy family. But it didn't work out. And that's when he comes about. He's all vamped out and everything. And after we're like, but you passed all the tests. Dumb boy. Don't ever invite a vampire into your house. It makes everything, you know, null and void or whatever he says.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then, Lucy, she's going to accept his offer. Like, she's going to be like, okay, yeah. I will marry you or, you know, become the father to your little vampire children. Or, sorry, mother to your little vampire children.
And then you hear, yeah, and then
Grandpa saves the day.
Yeah, Grandpa
crashing into his own house.
And then big spear, or I don't know.
I think it impales him to another a fence post or something.
So Grandpa crashes his truck through the wall, impaling Max with a large wooden fence post.
Yeah. It's
causing him to, he explodes. Yeah, that's right. With Max's
death. Yeah, all their deaths are different.
Michael, Starr, and Laddie revert to normal. Grandpa then quips, the one thing about living in Santa Carla, I never could stomach all the damn vampires.
God damn it, Grandpa. Why, he gave us a warning. Give us a letter, a little note. Oh, this wasn't, you know, now he can't text, but God, like, are you serious?
That's the thing. I'm like, hey, you know, my daughter and her and my grandkids are moving in. Hey, maybe I'm going to give you guys a heads up. I'm glad you're moving in, and I know you need some help. I know you've been through your divorce and shit. Let me get heads up. Don't go out at night. Stay in the house. Why, Grandpa? Because there's vampires every fucking where.
By the way,
really, really.
With this ending, whenever Max gives the offer, I'm pretty sure he mentions the word Lost Boys. Like, he calls them,
yeah, he calls them Lost Boys.
And
that harkens back to Peter Pan.
Yeah, and that's what I like about it is that, like, I mean, I don't know if that's how they originally came with this idea, but I like it because, like, if you look at it through that context, Lucy, she's Wendy, and I guess Max would be Peter, which is strange, but he's Peter, and all the vampires are, you know, the Lost Boys.
Yeah, the Lost Boys.
Which I and the Nook of the North, which I'm pretty sure is a character in that. That's also another thing, which is, you know, just find interesting.
Wow, the budget was $8,500,000 estimated.
How much they make?
Opening weekend in the U.S. They only made $5 million, $5.2 million.
Damn. So it. I mean, that was probably good at the time. I mean, it grossed 32 overall, so it made its money back.
Oh yeah,
it was a success overall, but like. I just imagined it being bigger. Yeah, like I said, I feel like this would be a good date movie.
Wonder what else came out that summer.
It was 87.
Let me see. Movie releases? Because that would tell domestic box office summer of 1987. Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Teen Wolf 2.
RoboCop. I remember seeing RoboCop.
Oh, we had a Full Metal Jacket. That's a good one.
La Bamba. Lethal Weapon. Huh. That's May through. We're looking at July, though.
Oh, Princess Bride.
Well, just in July, we're looking at Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, RoboCop, Full Metal Jacket, Living Daylights, which
Full James Metal Bond. Jacket came out that same year.
And La Bamba. So it's just not really much came out that summer that
Hey, La Bamba's great. Okay.
Adventures of Babies, Revenge of the Nerds 2, The Lost Boys. I mean, I don't see much that would have came out that summer that would have. Jaws the Revenge is probably what knocked it out of. Superman 4, The Quest for Peace is what knocked it off the mantle.
No.
That's what it was.
Superman 4. But La Bamba, which was a budget of $6 million, made $54 million. So, boom.
Yeah. La Bamba was good.
Yeah, that is a good movie.
Oh, La Bamba.
You know what? When I was a kid, I didn't realize like it was a real story. Like Richie Val, I didn't know it was a real person. So I just, when I found out he actually died like that, like in the plane, I was like, that's crazy. That's also really sad.
You know what? My mom loves that movie.
It's a good movie.
And then when we were, where were we at? Mad Monster and Lou Diamond was there.
Oh, really?
I could have gotten his autograph for my mom. And I didn't even think about it. Didn't even think about it. Oh, well. But that's it. That's The Lost Boys from 1987.
Damn, River classic.
I'm old, baby.
Always will be.
I'm old.
I say classic. I'm sorry. I made me
feel it. Classic.
It is. It's a great movie.
It's classic. And Jamie Gertz is hot. keep watching this. I'll keep watching this over and over and over again. I watch this.
Yeah, it's awesome. Until I die. I mean, not like every day, but you know what I mean. Like, yeah. I'll always watch it.
If you haven't seen this movie, you are probably retarded, and you need to watch it.
Oh yeah, you're missing out.
Yeah, you need to watch this movie. It's awesome. It's a good movie.
There's a lot of people out there that don't like watching old movies. I'm quoting with my fingers, old movies.
Why not?
I don't know. They not enough CGI.
any CGI is too much CGI.
Hey man, some movies pull it off. Lord of the Rings is good.
Yeah, I know. The Flash did really good. They pulled it off. Really good.
We don't need to talk about that travesty.
That's it. That's all I got for this episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Got any final words?
Okay. I know, okay, because I was re-listening to our Saw episodes. This is the first one.
Which eventually, we got to do part two.
We do. But on that podcast, we talked about doing a movie series that wasn't a horror series. And I'm just going to put this out there again. Lethal Weapon. Because I've never seen any of them.
How many are there?
I don't know, like four, I want to say.
Well, part one is a Christmas movie. It's in the Christmas. I got it on Plex right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that. I didn't know it took place.
Yeah, baby.
There is. Yeah, there's four. There's four.
Nice.
I'm just saying. At least we should at least try to do the first one.
We'll do it, baby. I'm telling you. Well, that's all I got for this episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Everybody out there, sweet dreams, love, peace, and
chicken grease.
Chicken grease, baby. Wait, I even got an outro.
The bed, his heart beats faster, his mind is fed with blood and gore and screams of fear, a world of darkness he holds so dear.
And that's gonna do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and let me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bed shine. And until next time, don't forget, you're wrong.
Later, Tater.
Echoes a sinister sound as he dances with shadows on haunted ground. Horror shine, a chilling name, lost in shedding sight. Lost in the movies, from dust to light. Sipping shine, it's an actor of life, a twisted soul where horror doesn't end.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.